adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming. It's a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives.
My name is Trevor, and I have a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old.
Each week, we try to show that just because you became a dad
does not mean it's game over.
I am so pleased to see you here tonight.
Are you?
I did not think you were going to make it.
That's nice.
I did not think you would be pulled out of Midgar alive and willing to speak with us tonight. So thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here, kind of. I press pause.
It's okay. Yes or no? Like the controller's like right beside the desk, and the moment we hit stop recording, you're jumping back into Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
I'm not gonna say that's not right. Like it is here, and that is my plan because I did pause during a battle to record with you. So like
wow.
I really care about this podcast, and I'm invested in it. Even though I'm out saving the world in some virtual space.
But also, if we could keep this show under 15 minutes, that'd be great.
Right, yeah. Right?
Your kids start screaming in the background. They've unpaused it. They're starting to just, like, cause havoc.
I would freak out, man. Like, no.
So I don't want to bury the lead. We will get into that story because I am very curious to see what your experience has been like. I did want to first call is just a couple of stories, and this came about because I was chatting with, if anything else, Jeff and I were talking about going into the offices, and in fact, I'll be going, I tend to work from home, but I'm meeting up with a good friend downtown at a co-working space, and the impetus for this is he's a new father, and very caring one, a very good one, but he was talking to me, and he's like, listen, I need to not be home for a while. I need to not be here with the baby for some amount of time. Can we go like work somewhere or something, please? And immediately, I think every dad listening, that resonates right away, does it not?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you do need like the occasional break, right? Because it's just a change of pace or what once was, or you need that time to reset in the mind. I myself have parked at grocery stores when I had younger kids and just take a moment, just breathe a little deeper and just kind of just let it sit, like be in that moment for a bit and then continue about my day. So
it's just you are alone.
Yeah.
And it's quiet and there's no outside stimulus. It's just you in that car and like nothing else is happening.
Right. Exactly.
For me, it was going to a coffee shop. So I'd go to the metro, and you know, before I go there, I'd stop at a Tim Hortons or a Starbucks, whatever happened to be around, and just a small coffee. I don't have a lot of time. I don't want to like abandon the home life, but at the same time, it's just I'm gonna take five.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna have 5 minutes, like an adult, like a normal person who lives their lives and is entirely under their own jurisdiction. I'm just gonna sit here and have a couple sips before we move on to the rest of it. And we have to go back to what we're facing.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I think that's, you know, healthy, right? Like everybody needs their space. Give mom a break too, right?
Oh, yeah. It's not so much like dads deserve. I would very much hope that if my wife goes grocery shopping, she's stopping somewhere for some sort of respite. Just you freed yourself from what we're going through in the chaos zone. So just enjoy it. That's take right. a moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tiny shout. And so, hey, gaming dads, was there a particular tiny luxury you afforded yourself when a moment arrived? Was it a parking lot sit a la Jeff? Was it a coffee shop like myself or something else in between? We'd love to hear it. We'll absolutely adore hearing from fellow gaming dads. So newdadgaming.com or at newdadgaming. So enough of the silly talk. We have Final Fantasy VII. I just cannot bear it any further to delay it. I got to hear about it. So in many ways, I'll say this, and I think you would agree with me too. I don't necessarily care to hear about your review of the game. Yeah. Because reviews are out there, people like loving it, it's getting really well reviewed, good scores, which is great to see. But you as a gaming dad, you as a devout lover of Final Fantasy, even specifically Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
We had a taste of it already, of course, because the first part of the series came out. But now, if anything, that was almost like a appetizer, because it was a very controlled little snippet, like one stream of the story, and now you're just tossed into the ocean of content. Like what has this been like coming back into this world?
Definitely overwhelming.
Oh god,
there's a lot in this world that I didn't get a taste in the demo, and there's a lot of mechanics, a lot of different things going on, which is great. But if you thought you could get away with the old Final Fantasy VII where there's no symbols on a map, this is way more like Witcher, where there's plenty of symbols on the map and there's plenty to do. So if you get overwhelmed with the side quests, which now I am because I want to savor every corner of this game.
Oh, of course.
I am worried that I'm going to get a little burnt out on it. I hope that I'm not. But it's like one of those things where you're like, there's a lot here. I'm glad that it's here. But it can be a little overwhelming when you kind of dip your toe in. But what's funny is that Midnight launch happened for this, and I had the digital version, and it unlocks at 12 midnight, right? So I was going to stay up to play it for a couple hours.
Look at you, you young man, you.
That's right. But in my old man, me, I fell asleep on the couch.
You're kidding me.
No.
You passed out on the couch, seriously.
Passed out on the couch. And again, just, you know, I don't know what it is about dad naps, but then I woke up and I was like, well, that's it for tonight. I'm not in the headspace. I want to give this game like my full attention, right? So I woke up way after the midnight launch. I'm like, well, I gotta get to bed because I do have work tomorrow. So it kind of like, I missed my shot. I pulled the new dad gaming kind of like faux pas and slept through a midnight launch.
Oh, it's so amazing.
But I thought I'd make it up on the Friday or the Saturday. And what happened was that my 10-year-old got wind of this launch coming, and they wanted to go into Remake, the first one, and play through that.
Oh, my Lord. No way.
So they took the PS5, and they were playing through it. And, like, obviously I could kick them off and be like, no, Daddy wants to play, you know, his new game.
This is Dad's time.
Move aside. But it was so cute, right? It's like one of those things, like, they're taking an interest in what the world I love, right? So I let them play through, and then what happened on the weekend was we got into some binge watching of like a TV show, and it was like, okay, well, like, now I got a lot of screen time on me and I don't feel like sitting in front of this TV more for video games. So I kind of parked it for a bit, and it was like not 2-3 days later that I finally got into it. So it's like one of those parenting things where like you think you're going to play the one day, and then kind of life happens and you just kind of adjust.
It just moves. You will say it came from a nice place, because it started with an appreciation that your kid was also into the world and was really excited to play and was playing like the old version. Like that's nice. That is cool. Exactly. We're happy to see that. But oh, that's kind of, so what was the sensation? So you're waiting to play. Is that just like a burning, like this is this is a horror show, I hate this and I can't play it, or was a, well, is what it is, we'll get to it.
It was more frustrating because my 10-year-old skipped all the story parts in Remake. They're like, oh no, I don't care about the story. I'm like, what are you talking about? This is an RPG literally built around a story where you get to know these characters that you're playing and their motivations, and they're like, no, I don't like them. So they would skip through all the cutscenes and every part of the story and then just run around and do the main missions. I'm like, okay, fine. So like that part was a little bit frustrating, and it was a little bit like I saw the icon on the main page of the PS5. I'm like, I could play it. Like, Remake exists on the PS4. I could send them downstairs and play it on the PS4. But it didn't happen. I let it go. Being the nice dad I am, I let them have their game time. But it was bonding time too. So they are involved in Rebirth with me now. They want to go about the world and discover stuff and all this thing. But we did have a no spoiler talk. Don't go on YouTube. Watch all your YouTube comments here. Like, please don't.
You are flying. You are flying so close to the sun. The thought that your very kids close. Are not going to, because they want the best. Sorry. Now, where are they right now? Are they at a stage where they want to see you suffer a little bit? And this is like comeuppance. Ha ha ha. Let's hurt dad. Or is it more of a over exuberance? And they're just like, they're going to say it.
I think it's the exuberance of things, and they want to like, I want you to have this thing, right? So I want to discover the secret for you, or what's going to happen here, so that you can do that now, right? Okay. So it's like, I can see where they skip cutscenes and the story elements because they want things to happen now. And I'm like, okay, well, I want to, you know, work my way through this and kind of, again, savor it a little bit. Please don't. You can come along the journey. That's fine. You know, help that out. You know, point to the chocobo farm so that I need to discover all that stuff. Not a problem. But please don't.
So the side missions and everything else, does it feel like Ubisoft Croft and runaround missions? Or does it feel meaty and interesting and it fills out the world? Like how's been the... Because you've mentioned that you have a side log or side quest jam.
Oh, yeah.
But is it kind of a cool, meeting, exciting, a la Witcher, or is it sort of any Ubisoft title where it's just 1,000 towers to climb?
It's funny that you say towers because there are towers.
There are towers, okay. It's a game now.
But the towers are, they help you with discovery. So they're not revealing the map. They're just, here's where these icons sit that you didn't discover. We're not going to reveal the map because we still want you to explore. So there is a lot of quests that aren't the greatest, but I am so wrapped up in the world that all the quests kind of give a lore and a vibrance and a life to this world that I was missing in the original. Like, looking back on it, it was very barren. And just even having an open world to toot around in is great. So the side missions can get on some people's nerves, I think, because some are like fetch quests. Others are like battle quests, which are actually pretty interesting. And then other ones are discovering, you know, summons and all this other stuff that you don't need to do, but it's going to make your life a lot easier if you go ahead and do it. So I'm having a great time with it, but I can see if like side quests aren't your jam and you're really looking for something that's like super meaty, it's maybe not going to hit that mark for you. But if you're invested in the world of Final Fantasy, I think you will be okay with it. Like, I think you'll want it, because I've spent hours in this world and I am not ready to give it up yet. I'm fully committed.
So this could be the new Witcher. This could be just the year-long title.
They could top it. I'm saying it's there.
And that is especially true. So any other gaming dads out there playing through Final Fantasy, we'd love to hear your thoughts of this new Rebirth. Give us a shout out, newdadgaming.com or at newdadgaming. Now, one reason you might be able to get even more juice out of it is the card battler. This thing is having a bit of a moment. And it's been, I don't know if it's been every Final Fantasy game. I seem to think 9 had it. I think 10 did.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I know for sure 10 did.
Yeah.
I think you mentioned 8 had a card game.
It did, yes.
So some version of this, I know a card game was a massive part of the, massive maybe, overstating it, but I know there was a lot to do with card games in the MMO, Final Fantasy.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And here it is again. So they have a new card battler, and it seems to be pretty good, no?
Yeah, this is one that I it's hit my Gwent spot, which is like high praise, very easy to get into, right? You're like, oh, this is easy. I have to do this as part of those side quests, right? And they introduce this thing right away. They're like, hey, you want a new addiction? Here it is. Like, first mission of the game. Like, go play these players.
Wow.
And yeah, they really throw you into it. And now I need to go around and collect the cards and do all the games. And it's one of those things where I didn't think I'd be spending so much time with it or care about it too much. Like, yeah, it exists. I think some of the other games I didn't really partake in a lot of it. But this one, we had a comment on our Twitter that maybe with your card and deck building skills with Marvel Snap, can come over to this one with his Queen's Blood in Final Fantasy Rebirth. So
skills is a bit of an overstatement, but at least my affinity for card games, I at least put it that way. It looks fantastic. I would certainly be interested to see if they would spin it out. So if this became a iPad game / phone game or Steam, wherever else it would go.
Yeah.
I would tend to think that a la Gwent, anytime that there is significant uptake in it, because card battles can be incredibly lucrative, right? Like every single, you just introduce new cards and there's seasons passes and then there's like openings, like buying for packs, currencies, like it for any company looking to recoup some losses on game development, having a card battler could just do that. And given some of the purported figures that Final Fantasy has been throwing around about what they need to do to recoup costs on this game,
yeah, it
does not seem particularly outlandish to me that they are going to spin this out.
I think they should because it's a great... See, I don't know how long the rounds are in Marvel Snap, like a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. Maybe, or is it longer?
Yeah. It's just that's one of the cool benefits. It's like just a couple of minutes per round.
Yeah, so that's what this is. So it's a great, again, dad pick up and play. I want to do a couple rounds, put it down. That's it, right? So if it was its own standalone, even just to, you know, free to play to get into, and then see about collecting cards throughout the Final Fantasy world. Again, hitting those nostalgia buttons, I think they would have a good, you know, hit on their hands, and would allow more people to play it. Even if they don't have a PS5, right? Or even if they don't have access to this, they can experience some of it. And this is one of those things that, again, will fit in with, you know, I just want to do a couple battles and then go away, right? Have my little like dip with Final Fantasy and then get out. So this would fit that. And I think they would be silly not to see the success. And it was trending for a bit, and just spin that out. Again, if it's 4 years between games, why not make one a card battle game? Like, it's right there.
Give me something else to stream. It'll be perfect.
That's right. That's right.
Now, have your kids ever gotten into card games? I know that. So mine were playing a pretty bastardized version in either real life or digital. My kids played a pretty bastardized version of Pokemon because they at the time when they were trying, they weren't really quick on reading. So there's so much text on the cards and you got to understand like all the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
So they would just do kind of like a power versus power. You draw and like they kind of created their own, which was cool. Now, and we had some pretty epic battles with all the cards that they have. I know your kids collect Pokemon. Did they actually play Pokemon ever? Did they ever get into Snap or Hearthstone or Gwent or anything?
No.
Has that been anything for them?
They were not really part of their... They would, I think my oldest would like it just because some of it is kind of like a puzzle and building, collecting like Pokemon, but then, you know, the puzzle of the actual playing of it. But they never played Pokemon truly. They just collected the cards and just that was it. Like they no interest in it. So,
no, you can't see them coming back with a couple packs of magic and going down the dark path.
I mean, if it's like a gateway, I mean, like, here you go, kids. And then all of a sudden it's this huge thing.
Well, it's one of those jokes in that community where it's like, if you want to keep your kids off drugs, just get them addicted to magic. They'll never have the money.
There you go. It's good advice.
I worked with a guy who'd spent over his life like $30,000.
Whoa.
On cards. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, everybody has their thing. You know, people.
That's fair. That no knock. He was... As long as he's happy, man, that's his money. He can do what he pleases. But I'm just never... to say, perhaps good that the kids don't, but at very least, like,
They'll need a job to support their habits. So
yeah, I'll be curious to see if either of ours gravitate towards Hearthstone or Marvel Snap or, you know, what XYZ as they get older.
Maybe they'll see if that will be a topic. They'll be like, oh, yeah. I saw Dad's stream. I kind of want to play that.
So what do you mean you got infinite the first time? Goddamn, I've been trying for years.
That'll be the worst. They show you up immediately. Like, what?
The very first time. Now, speaking of Pokemon, that segues nicely into a interesting in real life experience that you had.
Yeah.
With hopping into the real world of Pokemon. Actually, I'm sorry. I'm going to take one step back before we get into that, because I think that's the meatier story of the two. The one thing I did want to mention for parents who maybe want to poke into this world a little bit is I was kind of surprised that Jeff hadn't heard it, but perhaps I'm a bit more sensitive to this because I play card battlers. Disney has released one.
Did not know this.
Yeah, so it's called Lorcana. There's kind of a modded card game where you can do it online, but it's not the like official Lorcana. So Disney has not released a digital version yet, but they sell packs and they sell like a battler where it's like, okay, here's two full decks. Like, just start battling, away you go. And it is a card battler and is just all of the characters. So you are playing Moana, you are playing Prince Charming, you are playing Mickey Mouse, you are playing Goofy. I was going to make the Kingdom Hearts reference, but I don't think it's anywhere near that type of silliness and complexity. So
I hope not. Then the kids won't understand it. I don't understand Kingdom Hearts. So that's neat, though. I haven't heard of this. And when you mentioned it, it was just like one of those, where? What? How does it work? No, and what's the name? Like, what does it relate to? Like, it doesn't seem like as slick as what Disney would come up with. But
yeah, it all looks quite nice. I've not dived too much into it. I have come to understand it's a little bit simpler than Magic in a good way, in the sense that like Magic is ridiculously complicated, especially now the digital version is just nonsense. But when you look at these cards, they play Archimedes, which I think he's a owl from the Sleeping Beauty movies. And he has flying. He's a 2/2. That's the card.
That's it. There you go. Just
like, that's what he goes. So I just wanted to like put that out there in the podcast. We're not gonna be able to play extensively with it. The one thing I did want to do, I am curious to play, and this might be one of those dad things where you want to introduce them something because you like it.
Right.
I like card battlers. If I could card battle with my kids, that'd be fun.
Yep.
I want to be careful not to push them on it though. Yeah, however, all to say, like, I've seen this in EB Games and other places, and every time it's just like, I don't know, maybe I could just buy them and then maybe we could have like, maybe they'll like it and we could do some card battling and it's like fun, safe Disney characters, so not a big deal.
Yeah.
As I say this, we got some Captain Hook action going on here. Got the owl attacking Captain Hook, so.
It'd be fun. I think it'd be a good way to kind of gauge their response to card games like this, right?
Maybe. Yeah, exactly.
And then you get to play it.
And then I get to play. That's one. So just want to put it out there in the world. If any dads out there have been card players or have enjoyed it, do know that Disney released it. And like, the packs are widely available. Early days as far as it. I've never played it. I can't speak to its like how fun or complicated it is, but just something to be aware of. Definitely check it out. Now, something that is well-worn, something that is almost too over in a sense is Pokemon, and specifically the physical cards. And people ruining it. So, now, specifically, so you put on your brave face, you put all your dad armor, and you went to an in real life card event.
I did.
That's bold.
It was bold. So my 13-year-old asked in the car ride back from another errand we were running. You know, because when my 13-year-old wants to do stuff, it's all at once. All or nothing. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. If they asked if they could go and get their Pokemon cards valued at this place, which trades cards and does Pokemon battles. Mm-hmm. And I relented and said yes. I'm like, sure, go inside, grab your binder, we'll go now. Like, we'll just do the thing. So this, I don't know if you like noise.
Do you like loud, incessant noises?
But stepping into this shop, which it's got a storefront and then all these tables of people playing Pokemon and I think One Piece and some other card battler. There is so much going on when you step into this little mm-hmm. space. People are doing that. There's TVs going. There's kids running around. There's people at the counter trying to buy stuff. There's people at the back trying to buy more stuff. Washrooms are going. Like, everybody's walking around and stuff. And it's just madness. So if you do go, just a warning, usually these places are pretty tight. They got a lot of people in them when you go at their quote-unquote busy times, which I assume is the weekend, which this was. So maybe hit them up on a weekday to step yourself into it a little bit. But my kid wanted to value their car, like to get them graded, which is a totally different process that you have to like pay to mail them in and then get the official certification and get them back and whatever. Kind of went over to this store that could do part of that, but not the official grading.
Sure.
And so my kid lines their binder up on the glass counter, and then these kids that were playing a game swarm and want to see their cards.
What do you got? What do you got? What do you got?
That's it. And they're there with their binders, plopping them down. And the guy that's trying to grade my kid's cards are like, okay, no, you need to like leave him alone because I need to like deal with him. Go back to your game. And they're picking out the cards and stuff. I'm like,
oh no.
Oh my God.
No. Like, that sounds like a terrible note. Like, I know nothing about this world. But I can tell you, you don't touch another person's card, right? That sounds terrible.
No. And again, my 13-year-old is very sharing. So, like, will absolutely allow them to do that, loves the attention. I'm like, dude, they pick up the card like weird and bend it a little bit, it's gone. Like, it's done, right? Like, that's it. Yeah. Like, the value of it is gone, right? So luckily nothing happened, but it was just like, okay, you note for next time, right? And then just again an experience from a dad. I let my kid kind of lead this, so I didn't like step in until it was an issue, but my kid would give a backstory on all their cards.
Oh, wow.
And the guy is trying to value them, right? And he's like, okay, well, this one looks a little bit used. And my kid would take that as like, yeah, it is a little bit used. You know, we played a little bit at school. I think it got wet once. Like, I'm like, no. Like,
I need to teach you the art of the deal.
That's like, right. So, like, too trusting, too honest. I'm like, you're devaluing your card in front of the guy. He's obviously going to take your word for it and like try to knock you down a bit, right? So we had a big conversation in the car after that. But it was a learning experience for me on like just how honest my kid is, right? I don't think they've really been exposed to something that – I'm not saying that this guy would take advantage of him, but it's like he's there to run a business. He's there to make money. So there's no way he's giving you the same value for what he can sell it as, right? He needs to make a buck. So again, going through all that with my kid was an experience. It's like, it reminded me of like buying a car at a car dealership. Like, you know, the game and you got to be there and you're like, this is a lot of energy. And my kid is not that person. They want to talk Pokemon, but they don't want to talk about a deal or money or whatever. They'll just accept that, but then talk about Pokemon.
It's like, I don't know. So where'd you get it? Whoa, let me tell you the story. Exactly. So Brandon was going over to his brother's house. Yeah. Like, oh my Lord.
Yeah. So anyway, it went down. He got a couple cards, cash value that made him happy. He traded with the kids afterwards a couple cards he wanted. It turned out to be a good day, learning experience a little bit. And the guy that was running the counter said, you know, I saw a lot of good cards in there. He's a good kid. Tell him not to bring it to school anymore. If he wants to play with kids, bring him here because these kids know the cards. They know how to. I'm like, well, they just touched all the cards in his binder. Yeah, I don't know if that's true. They
just had their grubby hands all over them, champ.
But they're all like in the world. They understand it. And then like it's this whole atmosphere, right? And I think he's just trying to get, you know, another customer in the door. Because if you're there, you're buying stuff. There's food, all that stuff.
Yeah, there's events and.
Yeah, I'm like, I know you're selling me on this. Like, I can see through that. My 13-year-old can't. But anyway, it was a fun experience. It was a new experience for me, new experience for my 13-year-old. And I'm sure they want to go back. But just a warning to dads, it is a lot. And if you're sensitive to a lot of noise and overwhelm, that there you go. There's a lot there.
Yeah. Man, we attended one. It wasn't as frantic as yours. This was just held at an EB Games locally. And it kind of, what is a bit heartening, so there tends to be two people. And there's a group of people in this world that I just detest. Do not like them. And it's just, and it is the adults, and they're hustling it. And it's the reason why my kids can't buy packs of cards, because everybody's just jacked up the prices to everything. Like, there's these mad rushes, and you see, you know, like, oh, this store got new cards. And then lined up out the door is a bunch of adults. And I don't care to, like, throw shade at people. Like, if you enjoy this type of stuff, like, I got, like, toys and gifts and things too. So it's not as if, like, you know, that's a pot calling the kettle black. At the same time, you're not getting them because you like Pokemon cards and you're excited to have them. You're hustling. Like, yeah. I'm going to have a collection. I'm going to sell them. I'm going to go on eBay and I'm going to do, this is like a money generating endeavor for me. And then I got my kid who just really wants a cool looking Pikachu. And then he's going to take it to his buddy Aaron and, like, hey, look at my Pikachu. Can I trade it for Bulbasaur? Yay. And they're having fun.
That's right. Yeah.
So I detest this, like, this seedy adult nonsense that has kind of circled around everything to do with these cards, which is ostensibly like a kid's game. And again, I say this as someone who plays Card Battler. So it's like I'm trying to thread this needle around. It's cool if you like this type of stuff, for sure, but it's just the hustle that has now come about. It is just so disheartening sometimes. Like, it's really upsetting.
Yeah, and we had part of that conversation with my kid too about, you know, don't do this because you want to make money off it, right? If you enjoy it, if you enjoy the experience, if you enjoy even just going out and trading for a couple bucks, whatever, but don't make it a thing. Because a lot of, we got into, like, there's manufacturer scarcity, right? Like, a lot of this stuff doesn't exist. It's just, the companies build it so that you think that you can get, you know, that lightning in a bottle card that's worth $1,000, and that's a chance. It's like gambling, or like playing the lottery. Like, if you do it because you like the cards and the game and the kids and the atmosphere, great. But, like, let's now, not go in too intense.
So let me play devil's advocate to myself. Because the one thing I'll say, like, as of the week of this recording, a unopened box of O'Keefe hockey NHL cards opened.
Okay.
Or sorry, they were sold on at auction for $5 million. Oof. Because it was suspected that, like, it was a massive crate of cards, and it was Wayne Gretzky's rookie year. So the assumption is one of these cards is probably Wayne Gretzky's rookie card. Right. So I do now think about, to almost push back on myself a little bit, is the fanaticism around sports cards, right? The collecting and, like, the trading and, like, everything that was about that particular world. And does that kind of negate some of the things that I'm getting upset about here? Because ultimately, like, back in the day when we were young, it was like you got, like, some, I had some hockey cards, like, I collected some. I had baseball cards, like, you know, you just got them. I tended to buy them because I wanted the stick of gum in the back. But so am I almost, like, overthinking it, that, like, no, this economy that exists around trading cards is sort of fine? Because, like, I'm trying to both sides it, I suppose, in some ways too. I wonder if I come in hot because I'm passionate about it, because my kids just don't get to buy cards easily, and there's a bunch of adults trying to hustle them.
Yeah, I think that part exists for people that want to be a part of that. That's always going to happen. I think I myself collected, I think, football cards, and I expected to earn tons of money from them, from not opening them, right? And then I think which didn't happen. But then I think of all the people that saved, like, you know, I had Virtual Boy and Super Nintendo, and if I save those in box, that would be worth a lot of money today. And, like, if I had the amount of money to buy two and put one away, and, you know, that was my thing and I was a collector, I could see it as a thing. I just don't want my kids to go down a path where they're, like, doing what these adults are doing, and they're going out and snapping up everything before everybody else, and then going on their, you know, YouTube channel and unlocking all these packs and say, look at me, you can be like me. And influence that way. So,
okay, that's a fair balance of it. The social aspect of the market for this has always, in a sense, existed.
I think so.
And okay, and here's one. Another so Magic the Gathering, we're talking about card battlers.
Right.
Released a very limited run of Lord of the Rings cards.
Okay.
And it included a one ring card. So the one ring.
Oh my God. Okay.
But I do believe there was only one.
Well, yeah.
So the guy, there's this video of the guy opening the card and his hand is just like shaking. Like, it's going to fall off. He's so nervous, of course, because he opens this card. It's the one ring card that exists. And then Post Malone ends up buying it for $2 million.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. Just an antidote, like, to kind of express like this crazy world of it.
That's crazy. Yeah. And then you can play video games all your life. Live on that $2 million for a bit.
So your angle on it—that's a good one too. It is a world to understand and navigate. In some ways, it's always existed. The influx of social media and influencers has probably poisoned it a little bit, where people used to collect and they try to save them and they try to make some money off of them as an investment. It's interesting now. It's buy every pack possible, snatch it out of kids' hands so I can go home and film myself as an adult opening these cards. That's a bit dark. So if anything, perhaps it is just the social media part that's kind of poisoned what was an existing economy. And as always, with most of the stuff we do on the show, it's just about navigating it with our kids.
Yeah. Where do you want them to sit? What do they know? What don't they know? And you have to like figure out in a Pokemon trading card shop. You know, things come about.
Absolutely. All right. Let's wrap it up there for the week's eight. Gaming dads out there, have you had experience with in real life Pokemon events? Do you have thoughts on how you try to steer them away from potentially damaging or not necessarily fun stuff with these cards? Are you going to buy Disney Lorcana? Should we put together a gaming dad event? I'll say this too. Sorry. Thank you everybody for reaching out. It is one of the absolute greatest parts of the show. You can find us at newdadgaming.com or at newdadgaming. We had two gaming dads reach out this week, friends of the show, Tori D and DJ Ronnie. And we're going to try to, I'd absolutely want to set up a Helldivers 2 couple sessions. And I think that's a type of thing I'd very much like to do with the audience. So if you find us on Twitter, reach out to us on a website. I think we can try to get some friends lists going and set up some matches. I have some travel coming up, so I'm probably gone for 2 weeks, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, look at you. This. Let's set this up and then bye.
It'd be so cool to do. Not 2 weeks, but like as a general matter. So all suffice to say, follow, send us some messages, do contact, because speaking and interacting with dads is absolutely the best part of this show. So at New Dad Gaming or newdadgaming.com. If you like the podcast, love putting it out every week, love to put together some content for other fellow gaming dads. You can find it on all the major podcast networks, Spotify, Google Play, Apple, iTunes, Caster, anywhere where you get your podcast. Just search for New Dad Gaming. If you do, a subscription really helps. A review and a rating really, really helps. Really helps boost the signal, gets us out to as many card dealing dads as possible.
There you go.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening. This has been New Dad Gaming, and until next week, my name is Trevor, and I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 13-year-old, 10-year-old, and I have to go stop Sephiroth from destroying the world.
Yeah. This ran long. This is like a 40-minute episode. What happened?
This is the worst week ever. Like, this game launches, and so many things got in front of it, but...
I totally hoodwinked you. Like, look, we'll get on. We'll bang out a quick one, get you back in Midgar. Don't worry about
Longest episode in probably 5 years.
Can I say, just passionate about cards, man. Right, passionate about cards. All right. Thanks, everybody. Until next week. No. Just remember, just because you became a dad
does not mean